Yeah. The Ravens win. Hey, they got that going for them, which is nice. Welcome to the Project Game Day post-game show. Glenn Clark, the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. Very Merry Christmas. Ravens now know next week they win, they're in.
They're in.
That's how that goes. I'm sure you have plenty of opinions that are unrelated to that. But that's the reality for the Baltimore Ravens. They are one win away from heading back to the playoffs for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah.
That part, simply true. I mean, it's just
that's the facts.
Statement of fact.
You're stating fact.
They win next week, they're in. Some people have asked, hey, because it's a win and you're in situation, would that mean that they would flex that game to Sunday night? And my assumption is overwhelmingly no.
Yeah, because the Bengals aren't good.
Right, the Bengals aren't good. It's not a good matchup. And then on top of that, I also think there's a scenario where, depending on what happens for the other two teams, the Titans and the Bills in the next 2 weeks, where the Ravens could potentially clinch before they play the game.
Correct.
Because
the Bills play
the Patriots tomorrow. The Titans have the Jaguars.
And the Titans have the Rams tomorrow, the Jaguars the following week. So if you're the NFL,
you don't want any scenario where
it just doesn't make a ton of sense. It doesn't look favorable just on paper. It doesn't look favorable.
No, it's not
the Bills.
A good matchup, right?
It doesn't look favorable for the Titans either.
So no, that game almost certainly will be a 1 o'clock game next week. I don't think any of those teams next week are playing a West Coast team, so they have to move them all back to four, right?
Yeah.
Because the Titans play the Rams this week.
Correct.
So I think they would all be 1 o'clock games next week, and then you'll go from there. But that's it. Now let's talk about everything else, because I'm not stunned by this response. The first response we get, the first couple responses that we get, Andrew Stecka, perhaps the most embarrassing victory I've seen. Yes, that's possible. What an awful game.
We've seen a lot. It's probably not the most.
Right.
But because, listen, guys.
This is what the Ravens have done for 20-plus years. They don't typically.
Well, the Colts have not backed down from anybody. The Colts literally lost to the Steelers by 3 points. I think people are forgetting that. The Steelers right now, before last week, they had the number one seed.
Correct.
So, I mean, they are playing for whatever they're playing for, too. You know, they get paid just like everyone else gets paid. And so the Ravens have an history. At this point, the Ravens have a history of playing teams to the level of how good they are. That's just the Ravens. They've always been that way.
I don't even know that I would say that. I don't know that the Ravens are more than 7 points better than the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, yeah. And see, we were talking about this, you know, offline, and I told you, I said I played the teaser. I gamble, guys. If you don't know, I do gamble. I played the teaser where the Ravens were 3.5-point favorites. And then the Colts was plus 19.5. I took both. I took that 3.5 and that 19.5. So right now I'm 2-0. And I did that because the Ravens, honestly, the Ravens aren't a team that's going to blow out the opponents that they should blow out. We can look at the Chicago game, and that's a good, you know, a good example.
Yeah, they didn't even win that game.
They didn't even win that game.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's just not who they are. They have a ton of injuries that we know of, and then they have issues. Although the offense has gotten better the last few weeks, the defense has gotten they've scaled back.
They're just okay,
right? Yeah,
they've just
scaled
back
to be just okay.
Yeah,
and
particularly without Jimmy Smith.
Correct.
Obviously.
Yes, but to me, today's problem wasn't because of the secondary necessarily. Although, yeah, there was a couple of passes that should have been picked off. But I feel like the defense today just didn't get a lot of pass rush going on. Jacoby had some time today. Now, is that because he's poised in the pocket? Because they did have guys coming around him, but they weren't getting to him. And so he was able to get the passes out.
Right. They got the one sack at the end of the game that was really important.
Well, yes. Obviously, when it was a big
Zadarius
deal.
Smith,
yeah.
Yes. You know, that's what they got. That's who they are. And again, I keep coming back to, I don't know that this is a disappointing performance from the Ravens as much as, like, this is just who they are.
Yep.
Like, they're a team that's good enough to beat bad teams with bad quarterbacks.
That's correct.
Now somebody would point out they did beat Matt Stafford, so they beat one decent team with a good quarterback, but that's it. That's their accomplishment all season. If you stack up everything the Ravens have done to build up to this point to get to 9 wins, which guarantees they're going to finish over 500, they've beaten one decent quarterback all year.
Yep.
If you want to put Andy Dalton in the decent category, I guess you could put him in the decent category, but the best quarterback they've beaten all season is Matt Stafford.
Yep.
That's what they've done this season. Yep. That's what they have to hang their hat on as far as being a great defense or something along those lines. So I'm just not really sure that this is anything other. I don't know that they play down to anybody today. I just think they're kind of, this is who they are.
They are mediocre.
They're okay.
They're middle of the pack, and I think that they've gotten lucky because have had a lot of guys that's been injured that they were supposed to play.
Correct.
They didn't play Deshaun Watson. They didn't play Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
They could have faced Andrew Luck today.
Yep. There's a lot of guys that they were supposed to play that they did not play.
Tom, what's up, Tom? Our win and you're in with the fifth seed, correct? Which would mean likely the Ravens.
Well,
yeah, if they win, they're the fifth seed.
Well, you need the Titans to lose. Well,
no, if they win, no matter what, they're the fifth seed. If they win next week, it doesn't matter what any of the teams do. That's how they're the only team that can control their own destiny, is because they're ahead of the other two teams.
I thought they were going to be the sixth for sure.
No, they win.
Well, I'll take it.
They win, they're the fifth seed no matter what. And yes, that would likely mean a date with Kansas City in the first round.
Which is an opponent that you would like to be confident about. Kansas City has their own issues.
They have their own issues. The way they played last week, I mean, if that's who they're going
to
be.
Well, that's a divisional opponent, and right. So I don't like to take division rivalry games to heart. I think that they've beaten the Chargers the last five times. Don't quote me on that, but I feel like something along those lines. So they've beaten the Chargers enough times that I can't take that game seriously. The other games, they've struggled, particularly on defense. And so I think that the Ravens would like to play them, of course, well over the Jaguars, who are right now the number one seed.
I'd probably agree with that. I don't know. I don't know that I feel like I like the matchup with either one of those teams all that much. But, I mean, it's what it is. Charles, we're lucky. Last play could have been pass interference. I mean, we looked at it again. It could have been. I don't know that it... I don't know that that was pass interference as much as it was jostling. I don't know that that was...
Well, the commentator tried to say
Trent
that that he held his back. Obviously, we couldn't see that angle. And so I guess you got people that are saying at least that's a hold, right?
Okay.
But there's a part of me that I think that when games are close, you have to let guys play. If he's not grabbing his jersey, if he's not deliberately trying to bring him down, I don't have an issue with no calls. It happens on both sides of the ball all the time. I'm with refs letting guys play as long as it's not blatant.
I didn't think that was a situation where T.Y. Hilton had an obvious path to catching the football that was impeded. Could it have been called? Sure. I didn't think it was a brutal call or anything along those lines.
Well, I'm looking at my Twitter feed and everybody's like, it's obvious pass interference. And I'm like, I mean...
I would have to look at that a few more times to see what other people are saying.
Yeah, because we jumped on it literally right after it happened. But I personally think that as long as he's not showing that he's grabbing numbers, you got to let guys play. I'm not saying that just because it worked in the Ravens' favor, by the way. Let me just be clear. I think that refs too many times get involved in games that they shouldn't. And sometimes you just got to let guys play. And when games are close, so they're one – possession games, you gotta let them play.
Yeah, I hear you. Look, somebody in Indianapolis would say, what are you talking about? That's a call every time.
And that's fine. I understand that.
Look, we'll see. It doesn't really matter. I also don't know. I think there's this goofy world where, like, did you watch the Colts today? What makes you think they were going and scoring a touchdown anyway?
Well,
they scored one all day.
Well, that's true, and that's valid, but you can't tell me
From Scott. Scott gets in. Flacco looked good again. Imagine if the Ravens actually valued having good young. I don't really want to keep doing. We're going to do this.
That merry-go-round, Scott. I'm not doing it today. Now, I will say that he played decent. There's a couple passes.
I actually thought largely Flacco was very good today.
I thought he was very good today. People are going to talk about those two blatant overthrows that he had.
I mean, the one
to
boil. Again, that's fine. With the wet football today, he played really well given the circumstances and given the fact that he had to throw the ball to Michael Campanaro, Breshad Perriman.
Yeah, they only had three wide receivers.
And Max Williams. That's what he had to work with today. And Mike Wallace caught
four
balls.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to say three focal parts of the offense today were Breshad Perriman, who made two catches, Max Williams, who had a touchdown, and Michael Campanaro had a touchdown and other multiple catches and drew a few penalties. Joe Flacco played that well.
And shout out to the Ravens fans for clapping it up for Perriman.
The first time I was totally good with it. The second time I thought that was a little bit like, Really, dude. I mean, I get it. Trust me. I get it.
We're trying to build his confidence here, Glenn. Yeah. Come on. Let's build that man up.
Is that what that is?
Let's build that man up so he can catch some more balls.
Yo, look. I thought Joe Flacco was great. I think Joe Flacco is capable of being very great. I don't know why it is the Ravens haven't decided they thought that was valuable. I will do this. Rita, we will have plenty of time to have this conversation over and over and over again.
Yeah, we're going to have the conversation over and over until they do something about it.
Well, that's. I don't think that's ever coming. I just don't think. Why now? Why would you start now?
Yeah, history says that it's not going to happen. This is what, his 10th season?
Correct.
It's not going to happen.
It's sad. It saddens me because there really is a part of me that's like, I just wonder. I wonder how would we be talking about Joe Flacco if at any point in his career the Ravens had said, maybe we should try to do what other teams try to do and what won us the Super Bowl the last time and actually try to use our quarterback to win. I just wonder what we'd be saying when we talked about Joe Flacco. I don't know that we'd be talking about him as a Hall of Famer. I don't know that we'd be talking about him as a three-time Super Bowl winner. I just wonder. I wonder what things would
be
like.
That's the only thing you can do because outside of the couple of years in the beginning of his career when he had guys that were capable of making plays, we didn't have these questions. And now, you know, we have these questions. So, yeah, it's really unfortunate that you're in the latter part of your career and you still have nothing to try to go get a guy that can potentially take you to the next level.
Dude's career is going to end, and I'm still going to be sitting here saying, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
Somebody's still going to ask me one day, hey, was Joe Flacco? I'm like, I don't know because I never got to see him operate with the things that other quarterbacks got to operate with. Eric, good win, Ravens. Yeah, I mean, it was you know, say whatever you want to say.
Win, look, a win is a win, right?
And when you needed a win.
Yeah.
When you needed to win the game, and you won the game.
Yeah.
I don't feel great, but they won the game. David, thanks for being negative Nellis. He says, so, go on the record. Do you think it's a 0% chance of them winning the Super Bowl? Is that your call? No. They got a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Colts do. But
well, the Colts aren't making the
playoffs.
That's what
I'm saying. The Colts have a 0% chance
of
winning the
Super Bowl. Well, let me say this. I do think that the Ravens have a personnel problem offensively. I do think that they don't have the depth from a skill perspective, from a wide receiver standpoint, to be a threat. I know now that people are, because now I keep seeing all these articles coming out and like, are the Ravens a threat? And I'm going to be honest with you guys. If they play Kansas City, I do think that there's a very good chance that they advance to the next round. Because I don't think Kansas City is as good as we thought that they were. And so that's why I think that the Ravens can compete against the Chiefs. The Jags, the Steelers,
I hear you saying
and the
that,
Patriots,
but
I don't think that they have the personnel.
I'm gonna take a step. I've actually changed my mind a little bit, Rita. I'd way rather face Jacksonville than Kansas.
Oh, I would not.
Defensively, and I'll tell you why.
No.
It's the defense that I'm concerned about, which is Kansas City presents Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt.
But they've struggled to score.
They have.
So you have to take that into consideration.
But sometimes the Steelers have too. The Ravens, I can't believe we're doing this. They spent everything on the defensive side of the ball, and that's the side of the ball that I'm worried about. I get it. Jacksonville's defense is nasty, but it's an offensive league, and when you're given the opportunity to sling the ball around, you can go do some things. That's just the way that it works. Kansas City is the team that has a chance to go hang 40 points on you because of all of their...
They ain't hanging 40 points on nobody, Glenn. Come on now.
They have,
but they haven't done that in the second half of the season. They've struggled.
Except for last week. I don't know. I know you want to dismiss it.
I'm not trying to be dismissive, but you do have to take consideration. They know that opponent. They play them twice a year. They know what they're getting themselves into. They couldn't beat the Giants. Like, literally, come on. Like, Kansas City is not good offensively. They've struggled.
Well, then, no.
They've only won two in their last seven or something like that.
Right, they had a losing streak in the middle of the season.
All I'm saying is that I want to give my team the best chance. The way that I'm going to try to give my team the best chance to win is to expose their weakness, which is defense. They do have a problem stopping people with run game. You can take Marcus Peters out mentally. I mean, if Marcus Peters ain't feeling it, he gets lazy.
Right.
And so I say that because I do think that the Ravens could at least go toe to toe with the Chiefs potentially in scoring. I don't think the Ravens going to score anything against the Jaguars. I have no faith that the Ravens are going to do anything against the Jaguars. Now, I don't think that they're going to do 44-7. I don't think that that's going to happen again. I just don't think that they're going to do anything.
This defense against good football players is not good. I mean, this is just the reality. They're not good against good football players.
That's true.
You know, they weren't good against DeAndre Hopkins either. Now, luckily, they didn't really have anybody to throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins any better than what Tom Savage tried to do. And even Tom Savage was able to do some things against this Ravens defense because of DeAndre Hopkins. They are not good against good football players, this defense.
It's true. I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Really tough. So I don't know what the percentage is. Also, what does it matter what the percentage is? David, it's one of those goofy things. If they get in, they have a chance. But what is that chance? Their chances is as good as whatever level they're capable of playing to.
I would like to ask David, though, like, are you absolutely comfortable with the guys that you see on either side of the ball, quite frankly? I mean, I have said that offensively, I don't think that they have enough power weapons to go deep. Because you already have Macklin that didn't play today due to injury. We don't know. They said that he should be okay if they do make the playoffs. But we don't know that for sure. So the Ravens literally were down. Apparently, I saw Jeff Zrebeck tweet that they were down to three wide receivers. Like, do you really feel comfortable with the Ravens going into the postseason with Chris Moore, Campanaro, Mike Wallace? I mean, Campanaro.
Technically, they're four.
They're four. Yeah, I think we keep forgetting that Perriman exists. But that's for valid reason because he's not doing anything.
Correct.
So do you really feel comfortable with the Ravens making a deep playoff run, going to New England, going to Pittsburgh with the guys that they have? And that's my concern.
It's easy for me to say no. Of course I don't.
No, I'm asking David. Like, do you really think that they can go far with the personnel that they have?
Yeah. So, David, I don't know what percentage number that means. I don't think they have much of a chance. Do they have a chance? Yeah, in the way that anybody that gets in has
a
chance.
Exactly. Yes.
But I don't think they have much of a chance because I just don't think they're good.
Yep.
Paul gets in a couple times. First, God bless Eric Weddle and his 6 interceptions, victory bowls of ice cream, and white gray beard today. His beard was wonderful, the Santa Claus beard.
Those dropped interceptions.
It was the conditions today were not great. Okay. They were not, and I do think we need to be fair.
If you want to.
It's not about making excuses. It's about, dude, everybody had to play with it. There are a lot of goofy things that happened today with the rain coming down the way that it was. He does say if he's starting again next season, this defense is in trouble. Well, I mean, okay.
Oh.
I don't know that Eric Weddle is the Ravens' biggest problem.
It's
I think
not.
They have far bigger problems.
It's not.
My wife's checking in because she doesn't know that I do this. being in.
Well, it is Saturday. Why? Let me give your wife a pass. It's Saturday. We do this on Sunday. She wants to know.
But
what
she asked
going
if I could
on.
Get together with my in-laws tonight to go to the movies, and I said, "No, baby, the Ravens play today. I got to do the post-game show."
Project Game Day, babe.
Right. I don't know what to tell her. Being in the Christmas spirit, my Christmas wish list for the 2018 Ravens draft, Rashad Penny. Everybody's freaking out about Rashad Penny from San Diego State. They played their bowl game today.
Yeah, they lost today to Army.
Right. Everybody's freaking out about this dude and about how good he is. I obviously didn't get to watch, so I can't say anything. But I've seen Rashad Penny. He's a nice player.
Yeah.
A guy that everybody
I believe
likes.
He was a top 5 candidate for the Heisman. I believe he was... Yeah, he was 5th, I believe.
Was he really 5th?
Yeah, I want to say he was 5th. So, I mean, he's getting a lot of buzz. People are talking about him.
Greg checks in. He's talking about Joe Flacco's arm. He says the offense looks totally different when they allow him to use his asset. Well, I mean, this is what we talked about this a million times. Unfortunately, they just...
They don't.
They have not built something to allow for that. They have not built anything that allows for the biggest weapon they have, Joe Flacco's arm, to be used correctly. That's what they did. From Derek, for some reason, when the Ravens get into the playoffs, call me crazy, but they turn into a different team.
It's not crazy. I mean, I think we can all agree.
I think
with
we're also falling back on things that happened 5 to 10 years ago.
You said what I was going to say once you finished talking is that I get why you believe that.
Yeah.
It's happened. Again, are you comfortable with the personnel that you currently have on the roster? I really would like people to listen to that question and think about it and really give me an honest answer. If you believe that this team with this roster offensively is good enough to make the playoffs, I would like to have what you're smoking.
Okay.
I would.
There's two things, because you do hear that a lot, and you hear that a lot from national folks, right? Like,
because, again, that's the mantra of what the Ravens have been under John Harbaugh.
But in the last 5 years, they've been to the playoffs once.
Yes, that's correct.
So what you're falling back on is what happened during a stretch from 2008 to 2012. The constants, and they're important constants. Let me give it credit. The only things about this team that are the same as those teams...
The quarterback?
...are the quarterback and the head coach. And I guess you could throw in
and
like...
The linebacker in Terrell Suggs.
Right. I mean, to some extent. And if you want to, it wasn't always Tucker. It was Tucker, obviously, for the Super Bowl year. But they always had a good kicker for the most part. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, they've always had a good kicker. They've always had good special teams. Those are the constants. Everything else has changed. Now, I'm not trying to argue that because Ray Lewis isn't here, that means the Ravens couldn't still make a run in the postseason, because Ray Lewis had nothing to do, really, with the fact they won the Super Bowl. I get it, emotional leader.
And they went in 2014. Right, he was not there.
Correct. All of those things. I don't fall back on what happened from 2008 to 2012 as mattering in 2017.
I agree. You shouldn't.
I just that happened then. Now it's a completely different thing, and the Ravens have to go prove that. They don't just get to be given credit for things that happened 7 years ago for me to think they're just going to be a team that's going to rise up when the postseason begins. Could they? Maybe. I mean, I guess. But it's going to happen because of Joe Flacco, and this is... I think Joe Flacco can be really good. I think he's capable of being really good. I think the Ravens have given him no help in trying to allow him to be really good. I think the Ravens will go, and like any team in the NFL, as far as their quarterback is capable of taking them. I don't think there's... Maybe the Jaguars, right? But I still don't know that I buy into it. I don't think that when you get to the playoffs, there is a team, and some. I know you're going to bring up the Broncos a couple years ago, and that's the one anomaly to this entire. You cannot explain how the Broncos won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 3 years ago now.
Defense.
Without having a quarterback, right? Like every other team that's won one has won one having a quarterback playing at an insanely high level. So. Can Joe do it? Absolutely, Joe can do it. We know that Joe can do it. We've watched Joe do it. Is this team going to allow for Joe to do it? I don't think so. And so I don't think any of those other things matter.
I want to piggyback on what you're saying about fans and media getting caught up in what they've done. I think that this goes into the organization as well. I think that the organization has said, well, we've done these things in the past and it's worked in our favor. You know, getting guys.
Right, just get in.
I'm talking about from a personnel perspective, like how they get guys, that are kind of getting out of their primes, getting guys that are cut at the last minute, and those guys being contributors to this team. Okay, in 2008 to 2012, those things did work. Those things don't work anymore. You have to draft guys that can make immediate impacts to your team. And unfortunately, when you look at the Ravens and their top three picks in the last 5 to 6 drafts, what have they done for you? What have they done for you that you felt like that they have made a large impact for this team? You got second and third round players, not starters. That's unacceptable. And so that's what I'm saying is that we are not just media and fans are buying into that. I think the organization buys into that. Well, we've been doing it this way. Yeah, the problem is it's not working anymore. And what are you going to do to fix it?
Right, right.
And so that's I want everybody to kind of get out of that thought process, because if you haven't looked – it ain't working. It's just not working. I can't imagine where the Ravens could potentially be had they played two guys that were supposed to be, two quarterbacks that were supposed to be there.
We talked about this at halftime. That you can hang the hat on while they're winning. Again, if Aaron Rodgers plays, they don't go to Green Bay and win.
Correct.
There's just no world in which you think this team is going to Green Bay and beating Aaron Rodgers.
If you can watch Jacoby Brissett and Frank Gore, Frank Gore's like 100 years old in football years.
Yeah, I certainly
just
don't feel
have their way with what was going on. T.Y. Hilton, let me bring up this stat, because remember I laughed at that stat.
Right.
That stat was funny as hell. The CBS bottom thirds put up a stat that the last 5 games, T.Y. Hilton has averaged 30 yards per game. He eclipsed 100 today. 100 yards as Jacoby Brissett is his quarterback.
Yep.
There's no way you want to tell me that if Aaron Rodgers played, or if Deshaun Watson played, or if Aaron Luck played, you'd be like, oh, yeah, the Ravens would still be 9-6. There's no way.
I'm with you.
No way.
T-Bone, if the Ravens get in the playoffs, especially if they win a game in every conceivable way, this would be a successful season, especially given the personnel. I'm not giving you that because I cannot get away from this organization. And this is so important because I'll hear people say, well, you play the schedule you play. Right,
and that's fair. It's fine,
and that matters to some extent. It matters in that you're not going to be banned from the postseason.
Correct.
The NFL doesn't sit down this week and say, "Yeah, but the Ravens didn't have to play Aaron Rodgers, so we're not going to let them get in the postseason." So, in that context, when you say something like "you play the schedule that you play," it does matter. But where it stops mattering is how you judge your organization and how you do your own in-house evaluations. And if the Ravens try to dismiss the fact that they got historically fortunate in what they went up against quarterback-wise this season, if they don't take that into account in how they evaluate their own group of 53, 63, whatever number of players, you include all the injured guys, in how they put their roster together moving forward, they're effed.
Yes.
They're F,
yes,
if they're not looking at it in that context.
Yes.
So is it a successful season?
Yes, I mean, sure, right? Because if you make a playoff, appearance, you do have to consider that success. Everybody's goal is right. to make the playoffs. So, okay, fine, but you're right.
But this is a massive part of the story.
But that's the surface.
Right.
Are you going to look below the surface? Because you kind of have to, right? Like, if you want to continuously be a good organization, you can't stop with the surface. There's intricate parts and there's intangibles that matter. And so we talk about this all the time on this show, on your show, on mm-hmm. my show. My biggest fear, the reason why I was not really a big fan of the Ravens going to the playoffs, is because my biggest fear is that they think that the changes that they need to make in the offseason are minimal.
Right.
And that they become complacent with what they've done simply because they can say, well, we made a playoff bid and we had 17 players on IR, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
That's the one problem that I have potentially with this team winning or advancing to the playoffs, is that they don't feel like the changes that they need to make are that big. And that's the problem. You do need to make changes. You do have to find ways to get younger guys, young wide receivers
right.
that can contribute immediately on this roster. If you don't know how to scout wide receivers, find a scout that knows how to do that. That's the problem. I'm tired of hearing, well, the Ravens don't really know how to draft wide receivers.
I can't believe that people use that as like an excuse.
Right. That should not be an excuse anymore. Find somebody that knows specifically how to scout wide receivers.
I want to bring this up. Next year, as of right now, this is the opponents that you're scheduled to face, and they'll also get, obviously, the 2 second place teams
yeah.
from elsewhere in the AFC. So next year, your schedule will be slated to include home games against Ben Roethlisberger, Derek Carr, Drew Brees, and Jameis Winston. Again, not overwhelming, but good quarterbacks in that group. Your road games also including Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, whoever ends up being the Chiefs quarterback.
Next year,
yeah, they play the Chargers.
Oh,
right?
I might have to go to that game.
Yeah, that's at the soccer stadium next
yes.
year. Correct. They would also play the second place team from the South, which is looking like Tennessee.
Yeah.
On the road, so that would be Marcus Mariota.
You mentioned Matt Ryan, correct?
I mentioned Matt Ryan, yep. And they're playing the second-place team from the East. Now, it could very well be that some of those quarterbacks miss those games next year, the same way that quarterbacks miss games this year. It could happen. But you have to put together a roster assuming that you're going to be facing the overwhelming majority of the quarterbacks that I just listed. And by the way, there's somebody that I didn't list that might end up, it might very well be that Cleveland drafts a quarterback in the first round this year that is actually good. I'm going to bet against it because they F everything up. But it's possible,
but,
right?
But I mean, yeah, I mean, you have to look at, again, you're right. You have to look at it like you have Ben Roethlisberger twice. You have Drew Brees, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. You have Matt Ryan, although he has struggled this year. Matt Ryan.
His numbers are still very good.
Yeah, his numbers, yes. If he was on some, like,
yeah, I wouldn't like the Ravens' chances of going up
correct.
Against the Falcons.
I'm not picking the Ravens, and I believe, like you said, they play in Atlanta.
Yes.
You have Phillip Rivers. Like, say whatever you want to say. Phillip Rivers is still a very good quarterback, top 10 in terms of numbers all time. So yeah, that's a problem. Like,
right.
That's
and
a
what
problem.
I'm saying is that you have to talk about what you did this season, and you have to keep the quarterback injuries as such a main topic of discussion for this season, because you got to be ready for what you're going to face next year. Let me get through a couple more of these real quick, Rita, because we're getting you and I are talking, and I'm forgetting the people are trying to talk to
sorry,
us, and it's
folks.
My fault. My apologies. From Garland, this game was an example of why John Harbaugh is never mentioned in the best head coach in the league discussions. Those play calls with over 2 minutes left with a team that has no timeouts were horrible. Then what was the purpose of calling timeouts on those last three plays? This team will make the playoffs by default, but will not go far. We're going to go back. Let's go back to that. I'm going to wholly disagree with you. You needed to get first downs there. And I think people are forgetting how the clock works in the NFL, and the notion that if you just run the ball, all you got to do is run time off the clock. No. No, if you get the ball back with 4 minutes left and you just run time off the clock and then punt the ball right back, you're going to give the opposing team 2 minutes.
I didn't have an issue with that.
To go do something.
Right.
You got to go get first downs. You have to go get enough first downs that you can then take the time off the clock. Now, if your belief is, I think we can just hand the ball off and go get first downs, Well, they tried that on the first thing that they did when they got the ball back was they handed the ball off to Alex Collins. No, they actually ran a play fake first. They got a first down. Actually worked. The first play was a play fake that got a first down. It was a great throw to Mike Wallace.
Yes, it was.
And then they handed the ball off to Alex Collins for nothing.
Yeah.
For nothing. So they tried running the ball. They got nothing out of it. This notion that when you assume the team that you're facing doesn't know that you want to run time off the clock and isn't going to stack the box against the run. I mean, like, I don't know what we do. I don't know how we convince ourselves, because everybody was doing this in the Steelers game as well. This notion
I'm not backing off of that one, but I'm agreeing with you on this one. Like, are we talking about when they were under 2 minutes and the Ravens called the timeouts? Is that the part we're talking about at the end of the game?
Well, I don't know. He was doing that to try to preserve time in case the Colts scored.
Well, right. I mean, I don't know if you watched the game today, but the defense really didn't do a great job of stopping the Colts from moving the ball down the field. So you have to preserve your time. You have to call the timeouts, because if they do score, you want to give your offense enough time to come back.
A chance. Correct.
So I had no issue with that. I had no issue with that. I agree with you that the bigger issue is play calling and execution. Like, when I say play calling, I'm not necessarily saying you got to run the ball, but you got to execute those downs. That is the bigger issue here. You got to get the first down.
No,
and
correct.
That's the guys that's on the field. Get the first down.
Look, I don't know why you called a 5-yard crossing round on 3rd and 10.
Oh, I just couldn't.
If you want to go to that, I don't know what that is. Now, I don't know how that's John Harbaugh's fault. Like,
well,
I,
because he's the head coach, so we're going to throw it on him anyway.
I mean, I guess. Now, look, he was the one that decided to bring back Marty Morningwagon.
Well, so,
you know,
so
that
he
does
should,
fall
he
on
take
him.
Heat.
Right, yeah,
right.
Correct. I wouldn't have called a 5-yard crossing round on 3rd and 10 in that situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've seen that suggests to you that that's going to work and that he's going to break that. I would throw something to the sticks in that spot is what I would do and try to go pick up a first down. But outside of that, I don't think the play calling was the problem there. Greg, do we really feel comfortable with a healthy Macklin? Nope. Chris Moore is just okay.
I like Chris Moore. I mean, I'd like to see
but
him.
But he's had a lot of big drops in recent weeks, too.
Yes, he has. No, he's had a lot of big drops in his career. I mean, since he's been here, I mean, that's documented.
Right.
But I do think that if
he shows
a
little bit more than some other
flashes.
Guys do.
I give, you know, Jeremy Macklin to me sometimes look like he doesn't want to be there. Like some days he looks like he barely, like, you know, clocked
in. It would impact me zero if Jeremy Macklin didn't play another snap this season. I just don't think it makes a difference.
You don't?
I don't.
Now, I don't think I would go that far. I just,
I mean,
but
what,
I,
what
but
is
I just
he
feel
doing?
Like he doesn't want to be. I just feel like he's not. He doesn't feel
I don't think
like
he's
he
offered them anything.
There.
I think he's offered them nothing. I think he's been a waste.
I don't think he's. See, I'm not that hard on him,
dude.
But I'm not that hard on him. But I don't need. But he doesn't have to come back either. Does that make sense?
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I hear you. Campanero is below average. Wallace is good, and Perryman can't catch. But the O line has been a pleasant surprise lately. Good defense? ? Spotty at best. Who are the Ravens? I still don't know. Yeah, I mean, this is
nobody does.
What you just said is sort of the way that I think everybody feels, which is they have no playmakers. Their defense is just okay. It is, in a way, remarkable that they've won 9 games, but part of the story of how they've won 9 games at this point, again, is who they've faced. That they have had things break in a historically favorable way for them based on how it could have gone, the schedule that was present. If you had looked at the schedule before the season of quarterbacks that you were going to face this year versus who you actually faced this year, you could not have imagined a more favorable scenario playing out for you.
Glenn, I want you to stop saying this, because I feel like you are saying what the Ravens said last year when they went out and got all those defensive players.
Oh, my God.
I want you to stop saying, stop focusing on the defense and the quarterbacks.
Go get some damn receivers.
Go get somebody that's competent at this point. Like, Mike Wallace can't do everything by himself, and Mike Wallace is probably a number two somewhere else. And that's no disrespect to Mike Wallace. I think Mike Wallace can still play football. I'm just saying, like, when you look at other teams and what they have, he's probably a number two.
Correct. Oh, correct. Yeah, he's been fine, but he's not a
one.
And we're gonna go back to this again. Paul says, I didn't care for the offensive play calling and execution at the end of the first half. Almost allowed the Colts to get a field goal right before the end. It was weird, I don't give you that. And then he brings up the series before the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. It stopped the clock and left the Colts with over 2 minutes. Oh, what did you want them to do on 3rd and 10?
Well, yeah, that after the penalty.
The penalty is a huge problem, right? Like, that's a huge problem.
Right, because it's 3rd and 5.
Correct.
It's 3rd and 5.
But they still needed to throw the ball. I mean,
the point is that 5 yards is easier to, well, you would think 5 yards is easier to get than 10.
Correct. The penalty is a huge problem. But I don't understand what the problem is with the play call. if you had run the ball from 3rd and 10 with 2:49 that was left at that point, they were going to, the clock was going to stop at the 2-minute warning. If not, you were going to have to punt before. You weren't picking up a first down running the ball on 3rd and 10. So either you were punting the ball ahead of the 2-minute warning or at the 2-minute warning, and the Colts were getting the ball with 2 minutes to go try to beat you. Is that a better scenario than trying to pick up 3rd and 10? Would you rather just punt? Would you rather just say, we're not going to get this, let's run 40 seconds off the clock and give them 2 minutes and 40 seconds instead of 2 or 2 minutes instead of 2.5 minutes? Not in any world do I think that's a better idea than trying to go get the first down that if you get, you essentially end the game.
Right.
Now, again, running a 5-yard crossing route on 3rd and 10,
ain't gonna work.
Let's have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't think that was a good call. Credit the kid, Kenny Moore, who made the play because he made a nice play. But I didn't like the call to begin with. We can talk about that. But the notion of, well, you got to make them use the timeout. No, you got to go get a first down there. Go get to a point where you can then take knees and run the clock out.
And I don't know this to be true. Like, I watched that.
There's also a big difference, by the way, if there's a minute left versus 30 seconds left. That's a big
correct.
Difference.
If I
in
agree.
One scenario,
I agree.
They're getting the ball back with 30 seconds left, yeah, go ahead.
I agree.
You know, run the ball there. And the difference between 2 minutes and 30 seconds or 2 minutes is insignificant in the NFL.
I agree. I would like to say, and if anyone wants to add in and tell me, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, that's fine. I didn't see the all 22, but it appeared on that down. Like
that
Chris Moore was getting open.
Yeah.
And so, but maybe he didn't feel like he had enough time. I don't know. I'm just not with the idea of doing a crossing route for 5 yards. That would have only gotten you 5 anyway, had you caught
it. Well, Moore
was
in good. Now, again, I get the idea of a crossing route is that you get into space, right? Like, I get that concept.
But he was well covered.
Moore was right on top
well
of him.
Well covered.
Correct.
So,
correct.
That's my only thing is that, you know, he wasn't going to get the first down anyway.
Kenny Moore was right on top of him. From Derek, I'm not comfortable, but we match up well with Kansas City, and we play the Steelers tough, and we always play New England tough.
Yes, that's true.
We've never had a team we were comfortable with in any of our playoff runs. I will say this is the least talented team we have had to get into the playoffs, but the entire NFL is down this year. I don't disagree with you on a lot of what you're saying, but when you talk about playing New England tough, you're also going back. You're bringing up previous teams. They played New England tough when they had Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin and Steve Smith.
They did.
They
lost by one score.
Yeah, I can't even remember much about the circumstances of that game. Like, it's just so goofy.
They were down by, I think, early
two
scores.
They were getting their asses kicked, if I remember right.
And then they had a couple balls bounced
their way. It was a
Monday
night
game. They had a couple balls bounced their way. They made up. So I don't disagree. I do think that sometimes it's just, you know, it's just that team is, you know, a pain in that other team's ass. I do think that works sometimes. Here's the thing, though.
But I keep coming back to everything that we're falling back on. Everything that we're falling back on has one common theme. That's Joe Flacco.
Yes.
And
But he already said that this is the least talented. Right. I mean, he admitted that this is the least talented team.
I don't think Joe Flacco can go beat the Patriots with Chris Moore and Michael Campanero.
It's not even that, though, Glenn. Do you feel comfortable with the way that they scale back on the way that they play call? And I'm not necessarily talking about today. I do understand that there were weather concerns that you couldn't really push it the way you would have liked. But do you feel confident that the Ravens are just going to go into playoffs and say, we're going to just not be conservative anymore. We're going to be very aggressive. Do you really believe that is going
here's
to happen?
This is a goofy thing, but they actually do have a track record of saying, we're going to do what we have to get in, and then once we get in, we're going to do things that
with
we wouldn't
that
do otherwise.
With that coordinator?
We have no track record. I have no idea what Marty Morningweg does, but it is a
I know
Ravens,
what he does since he's been here.
I understand, but I'm saying in general, the Ravens have a history of being more conservative during the regular season and suddenly opening things up again in the postseason. But the teams that were, I don't know what's going on with me today, I'm
Pop.
So very sorry. I'll use the other. Get new microphone next week. The teams that we're falling back on that were saying the reason why we believe that they can go do these things, they had, and I'm not talking about having great receivers because they ain't never had great receivers in Baltimore, but they had good ones. They had Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin, and the last time they went in to beat Pittsburgh in the postseason, Steve Smith. They had guys that were competent pass catchers that you felt could make big plays in big spots when they needed to make big plays. I don't have that confidence, not because of Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco is completely unflappable in all these scenarios. I think Joe Flacco could walk in and win Pittsburgh, New England, any city in
but
the country.
Needs help.
But somebody's got to make a play for him.
He needs help.
And I don't trust that he's got anybody over there that's going to make a play for him when they absolutely – they. If Jeremy Maclin can catch the ball along the sidelines a couple weeks ago, they would have beat Pittsburgh. Yeah. But he can't because Jeremy Maclin stinks. He's terrible in 2017. That's what you got.
You are just on the personnel, but I'm on the personnel and the play call. I'm sorry. I don't trust that man. I don't trust that man to do anything differently.
And then
you have the players that you do have that aren't going to really be able to take you to the next level like an Anquan Boldin, like a Steve Smith. You just don't have that guy.
And if they had this defense, which I don't think is that good, I'm saying if they go to Pittsburgh or New England, I assume they're giving up 28 to 36 points, somewhere in that neighborhood, if not more. I'm assuming that. That they're winning in one of those two places.
This is the same defense as 2014, but they had better skill players at the wide receiver position in 2014.
Correct.
Like, let's be clear here. This is the same defense as three seasons ago. It is. Like, they literally...
They're okay.
They literally gave up 35 points to New England, right? And that was... Okay, fine.
But they had enough that they had a chance.
Correct. They also had two leads. They also had two leads of two scores.
Correct.
That the defense gave away. You don't have those guys. You don't have anyone that you can depend on. Outside of Mike Wallace, who are we depending on?
I mean...
And Mike Wallace sometimes wants to drop the ball, too. Like, sometimes
true.
He wants to give it up.
I mean,
he
typically,
just
I trust Ben Watson underneath, but that's a very... I mean, like, it's a very, very...
At this point, everybody knows... defenses know what's going to happen.
I think he's a poor man's Dennis Pitta, and that's not a... Like, you don't get to the guy that was around for the last couple of years. You don't get to be much poorer than and I'm not. This is not a knock on Dennis Pitta. He did what he did. God bless him. But they don't move after they get the football.
Correct. They don't believe in yak. They'll catch it, but they're gonna get right down.
Greg, please explain how the Colts completed those third and longs all night long.
You explain it
all night long.
I would love to know.
It's been a problem. All right, 30 seconds, then we'll set up next week. We'll tell you all about ParXL, and then we'll preview next week. It is the Project Game Day postgame show here on PressBox.
The ParXL Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
Wild romance, we're going to party. I'm sorry, I apologize. Once I start hearing Lionel, you know, you can't hold me accountable for anything that occurs after that point. That's the way that it goes.
Okay.
All right, next week, we assume the game will be at 1 o'clock. No reason to think otherwise. Ravens wrap up the regular season against the Bengals. Very simple, win and you're in. Is there any world in which the Bengals decide last game for Marvin Lewis?
No, I think that the way that Marvin Lewis quit on them, they're probably like, F it. I could see if he was getting fired, and then they'd be like, well, let's rally around Marvin for his last win. I just think that once he... Like said, hey guys, I'm not coming back no more after this. They was
right.
Like, okay, well, cool, we ain't coming back either. Then, damn.
Well, and it looks like they packed it in a couple weeks ago.
Now, of course,
it looks like after the Pittsburgh game, they packed it in.
Now, of course, they could definitely be like, hey, let's go be some spoilers out here.
Okay,
and it's possible, and it's also possible that somehow, some way, they play AJ McCarron for some trade bait. I don't know. So then AJ McCarron is going to try to play hard because he's trying
to get a
contract.
Wants to go be a starting quarterback somewhere. Yeah.
So that's possible, but you know the Ravens. Like the Colts, what we thought beforehand, they should win that game.
Oh, I'll definitely give you the it's not impossible they could lose it. I don't think the Ravens are that good, but yes.
Yeah, you and I, and I think a lot of people would agree that, you know, the Ravens have had some lucky bounces, but overall, they're middle of the pack. They're not that great, but they're going to be lucky enough probably to get into the playoffs.
That's what it looks like. You guys will be talking about it for 2 more hours tomorrow morning. You don't normally get to do the post-game thing on the morning show on Sundays,
so
but that's what will
happen.
Fantasy and Reality Football Show tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, with Rita and Ken Zales and Kyle Ottenheimer. Right here, same if you're with us on Facebook, it'll be the same place, facebook.com/PressBoxSports or PressBoxOnline.com/radio is where you can listen to the show. I will be back with you on Tuesday for Glenn Clark Radio, same locations as well for that. Rita, you're on Twitter at the NFL Chick.
I am.
I'm at Glenn Clark Radio. thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And we will see you next Sunday for the regular season finale of Project Game Day. It's all brought to you by Par Excel. We'll talk to you then.